Hi, everyone. This is Shanna Bromley, your host for Relationship Resurrection. We have a very special person here today, Lisa Merlot Booth. And we're going to be talking about radical new relationships, grounded, powerful strength as an approach to communication, and mastering the art of repair. But before we dive in with her, let's go over really quickly what we're doing here. In this free virtual event, you are discovering the most effective spiritual and transformational principles to reconnect as a couple, physically and emotionally, creating romantic moments so you can have the happy and the sexy relationship you've always dreamed of, even if you're the only one trying. And when you take all these sessions in, you're going to walk away with hope and tangible, proven practices that elevate your relationship. Myself, along with this panel of fabulous speakers, are sharing what it means to thrive as a passionate, happy couple. You're going to learn how to break through the hidden barrier so you can feel consistently appreciated, wanted, and understood without feeling like you're dragging your partner to couples counseling. I invite you to listen in on each of these conversations to get the most out of this. It can be a game changer for you. One aha could literally change your life. Every morning, we're going to send you an email with a link to the interviews of the day, and they do expire. So watch for those and check your junk mail in case some seem to be missing. Okay, let's get to it. Today, I am delighted to introduce Lisa Merlot Booth. Lisa Merlot Booth is a straight-talking and highly effective relationship coach, speaker, and blogger. With more than 20 years of experience in transformational relationship coaching and a thriving practice, Lisa's passion is guiding people to cultivate healthy, respectful, and strong personal and professional relationships by finding their grounded, powerful strength, GPS. Grounded, powerful strength rejects the common power over paradigm for one that views and approaches others as equals. A sought-after speaker, Lisa shares her practical advice on building radically new relationships to audiences in keynote speeches, her popular blog, Straight Talk for Women, and her podcast, The Rising for Women. Welcome, Lisa. I am super excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So let's dive right in and talk about the term radical new relationships. That sounds super intriguing. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that looks like?
Yeah. So radically new relationships, you know, so many people, we have this idea around relationships that we normalize a lot of unhealthy, you know, components. Everybody yells, everybody cheats, everybody dot, dot, dot. When we look around at relationships, it's really hard to find good examples of healthy couples who seem in love, who act in love, who treat each other well, who are respectful, who have fun together. We just, and in conflict, who are able to manage that in a way that they are still honoring the human being on the other side of them.
Right.
And so radically new relationships, it's really about, like, we have to throw out all of the old models. We got to throw out all of those, you know, excuses, boys will be boys, men will be men, you know, women have to be nice, men need to be strong. All of that stuff is, it just has kept us into really unhealthy relationships that we've come to normalize and expect. And so, you know, radically new relationships, there's kind of like four pillars that I think are super important that I think we just don't even think about and we don't use in our daily relationships. And so those are, like, the first one is uncompromising safety.
And what is that exactly?
So uncompromising safety means physically, emotionally, spiritually, you should be the absolute safest person in your partner's life. Mm-hmm. Right. And we aren't too often. No. We're the worst. We're the worst. Right? Like, we're, you know, we will be, you know, super together and very respectful at work. And then we come home and we're like, rawr, right?
Yeah.
And so we need absolute uncompromising safety. And that's like, It's where your partner can have a different opinion and you're like, oh, that's interesting. You know, that's different. Here's how I think about it versus that's so stupid. How do you think? Right.
Or you're so stupid.
What?
Or you're so stupid.
Right.
Yeah. Very attacked. Yeah.
Very attacked. And because that just doesn't help us. Right. And so then if you start to feel like, oh, I better not give my opinion because he or she's going to be mad at me or they're going to disagree, then they start kind of like not sharing or shrinking themselves. And so you have to have absolute safety in your home. And that's where you can have opinions and you can say something's upset, that you're upset and the other person is going to hear it and take it in and not dismiss it and pretend like it's no big deal.
Yeah.
The other one is courageous accountability. Mm-hmm. And this is tough, right? Mm-hmm. Courageous accountability is that you have the courage to actually own your mistakes and to repair them. We are human beings. You are not going to get through this life without making a lot of mistakes. And you are certainly not going to get through your relationship without making mistakes. And sometimes I think we have this like Hollywood idea of what a healthy relationship means. Like you should always be happy and you should always get along and you should always have hot sex and you should always be into each other. And that's just not true. Like healthy relationships are like you have spontaneity and it's fun and you're accountable and you're going to make mistakes and you're going to say something hurtful or do something hurtful by mistake maybe. And, or even, you know, you just blew it, but you're going to repair it. And you're going to say, I'm so sorry about that. And it's that constant dance, right? Of, you know, we get along, we hit a bump, we're not in such a great place. And then we're going to fix it and we're going to repair it and we're going to get along and we're not. And so that accountability is having the courage to be able to say, my bad. Yeah. I, you know what, you're right. I screwed up. I hurt you. I'm so sorry. And one of the biggest things I see that hurts couples is defensiveness. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that. That's not what I meant. Why are you so mad about that? And we can't, you know, radically new relationships is just realizing you're going to make mistakes. Your partner's going to make mistakes. Love yourself, love them, own it, repair it, move on. You know?
Yeah. I think it's a big measure in relationships when things are easy when it's easy.
Yes. But
do we open or do we constrict when our feelings are hurt, when our partner says something that we don't agree with, when there's conflict, when we're triggered? Can we open and continue to reopen in the relationship? Mm-hmm. Or do we constrict? Do we get defensive? Do we get reactive? Right. And the health is that internal work where we keep that expansive state.
Which is so hard to do, but that,
very
and yeah. And that's what I call a grounded, powerful strength, right? It's really, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but it really is, you have to be able to like get grounded and realize, okay, whoa, we're in conflict right now. And I have to look at my side and how am I going to do this? Cause I want to do this well. I can't control their side, but I absolutely can control mine. And you got to look at what do you do in conflict? It's easy to talk about the honeymoon phase. You know, how do you get along with that? That's easy. You enjoy it and it's easy and let's go have fun and blah, blah, blah.
All you have to do is enjoy the good feelings.
Exactly. Right. It's when you hit the bumps, that's where the work is. And that's where radically new relationships really kind of step in. So the next one is absolute equality. Mm-hmm. And absolute equality is on every level. Like my opinions are as important as yours. I don't care if you're the one making money and you're the only one working and I'm the only one home. If we have children, your opinions are just as important as my opinions, even if I'm the one that's primarily at home or whatever it's going on. Everything, every opinion matters, every feeling matters, every, you know, thought, it counts. And so, you know, one of the things that happens in relationships, like healthy self-esteem is a lot about energy, right? Yeah. And when you see somebody as equal to you and worthy to you, you treat them as such. And when you don't, there's like an energy of contempt. It's like looking down your nose at them. Yeah. And so we can, I see this in couples all the time. There's one person who's like, you don't know what you're thinking. You don't know how to do that. They don't really respect where, you know, who they're with. And that is huge. When you are in a relationship, you have to have absolute equality. And so on your side of it, you need to own it. You need to know I am totally equal, regardless of how much my partner makes, who they are, who their family is, what people think of me, what my gender is, like whatever it is, right? You have absolute inherent worth and you are absolutely equal to them. And they need to know the same. And by the way, they are absolutely equal to you, no matter what you think you have and they don't. And you have to treat each other as such. And that's another big one, you know?
Great.
Yeah. And then the last part of radically new relationships, the fourth pillar is genuine warm regard. We just have to treat each other kind. You know, you should be the kindest and the safest person in your home. And if, you know, you should be like loving. Yeah. I don't, you know, like that's so important. You know, hey, baby, how are you? It's so good to see you, you know?
And as you mentioned, I mean, I would say most of us did not grow up having healthy role models on how we relate to one another in relationship. Right. We're not taught it in school. We're not educated on it. And even in our work relationships, maybe there's a little bit of education, but not a lot. And there's not, unless you go really looking for it, there's not a lot of resources available to teach people that this is even possible, right. Let alone have the skill set necessary to do it. So, and how we're doing relationships just simply is not working right now. The average marriage in the United States is 8 years. And I believe so many of those relationships could be resurrected if people were willing to look at what they know and what they don't know, because there's right. so much that they don't know on how mm-hmm. to do this the right way so that it's blissful, that it's constructive. And that, I mean, there's so much myth around what relationships should look like too, as you mentioned, the Hollywood, and really mm-hmm. shifting that and debunking right. that, because to mm-hmm. be in a, you know, soulmate relationship, it's really about growing into it and being responsible for that internal state.
It's so true. And because there are such poor examples, we normalize poor behaviors, right? Yes. Yeah. You know, the idea that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is the most disturbing, like it's just so disturbing, right? And you can have, you know, the Ashley Madison site, you can have an affair site where, and a lot of women are on that site, by the way, thinking if I have an affair, my husband, I don't like the way he treats me, I might as well go out here, or men having affairs, all men cheat. All of those messages are so off and so, they're so toxic. We have to start realizing, wait a second, that's not good. Every relationship, your relationship should feel good to come home to. Bottom line, I don't care what you've heard. I don't care what you've seen. I don't care who your family is, right? It should feel good to come home. If it doesn't feel good to come home, you need to know, okay, something's got to change here. Mm-hmm. And you got to figure out, is it on my side or is it on theirs? And if it's on theirs, they have to do their work, but you've got to stand up and have your back enough to say, this isn't working. We need to change it. Right. And then you need to not settle. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Because what we're taught is just crazy. It's damaging to us. 8 years, that's the longest you, and now what's happening is everybody's like, I want an open marriage and I want polyamory and I don't want, like, it just is going more and more. And I think that that's happening for one reason, is because people aren't happy in their marriages, and they're thinking, well, I don't want to get hurt anymore, I don't want to be cheated on anymore, so I'm going to play it a little bit safer, I'm going to play it a little bit for, you know, I don't know. I think we have to really think about it. And it's okay if you want an open relationship, if you're doing it for the right reason.
Yeah.
If you not to, yeah. Yeah, you know, not to escape, or, you know.
Yeah. I see a lot in relationships where we have that first bump in the road. And so people try to incorporate something new. Let's go on a vacation. Let's get a puppy. Let's get engaged. Let's move in together. Let's have a family. They're trying to fix it by incorporating something new. And I feel that that's sort of what the open and polyamorous container is for a lot of people right now. Well, this isn't feeling good. Let's try to put something else into this and distract us from actually doing the work.
Right. We're a quick fix nation. And there's no such thing as a quick fix. There just isn't.
No.
You're going to create another problem over here and another one over there. And ultimately you got to look at, look, what am I bringing to every relationship? I don't care what relationship you're in. You're bringing you to it. And there's something that we all do in the heat of the moment that doesn't serve us. You got to figure out what that piece is.
Yeah. And I mean, there's not a single person on this planet without wounds and without fragmentation. So there's nothing wrong with you, but you are responsible and accountable to heal. So when you're being triggered, you must look at that, because if you don't work on it in this relationship, you sure are going to be given the opportunity to work on it in the next relationship. It's not going anywhere.
It is not going anywhere. It'll join you on every journey you take until you really look at it and do the work.
Yeah. So let's talk about grounded, powerful strength, GPS, and how this is a really effective approach in communication.
Yeah. So our world runs on a power over paradigm. And so we confuse power with aggression all the time, and standing up for ourselves with stepping on others. And so instead, a grounded powerful strength is power from within, right? I don't need to move over you. I don't need to move in power over you in order to be heard or get my needs met or anything else, right? Power from within, the bottom line rule is compassion, right? You have compassion enough for yourself to stand up for you when you need to, while also having compassion for the humanity of the person on the other side of you in how you stand up. So I'm going to have my back, but I don't get to step on yours in that process, right? The bottom line rule in a grounded powerful strength is do no harm. Do no harm to others and allow others to do no harm to you. We kind of think that, you know, if you hurt me, I get to annihilate you, right? And you don't get that.
An eye for an eye,
right? And that just doesn't work, right? No. You get to stand up for yourself. You get to set a limit. You get to walk away if you need to. You get to leave a relationship, leave a job if you have to, if nothing's changed. But you do not, the poor behavior of somebody else is not a green light for your own poor behavior.
Yeah.
You are always responsible. So that grounded powerful strength is really about power from within. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I see, and it's vital for men and women, often we have overshooters and undershooters, right? The overshooters are the ones who are yelling, screaming, micromanaging, controlling, like in your face.
Yeah.
The undershooters are placating, over accommodating, walking on eggshells, trying to be silent. They're trying to nice people into like treating them well. In my experience, about nicing people into treating you well is they lose respect for you.
Yeah.
And if anything, you nicing them into treating you well when they've been treating you poorly gives them the go ahead to keep doing it more.
Mm.
Right?
It's like what my dog trainer tells me, what I pet, I get. So
yes. Yes. And what you stay silent to, you also are going to get more of, right?
Yeah.
Inherent in your silence is acceptance. And too many women have been taught to be nice, go along with it, don't make waves, put the needs and wants of others above yourself. And that doesn't work. And too many men have been taught, be strong, suck it up, you know, don't be too emotional. But you can see how that harms men and it harms women. And then you put them together and no wonder why the divorce rate is 50%.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. You know, so that grounded powerful strength, it's like the difference between, you know, let's say my husband like has an anger issue, right? And it's the difference between me saying, stop yelling. You're always yelling. I hate it. You yell at me, right? Again and again and again. I hate it. Stop it. And that would be the power over paradigm versus a grounded powerful strength is, listen, this is, you have been yelling at me time and time again. I've told you it's an issue. I've asked you to stop it. I'm telling you, if you do not get help for this, you and I are in trouble. And if I need to separate, I absolutely will. Am I clear with this? Do you understand? And then if he keeps doing it, you know, the next, not even if he keeps doing it, the next time he does it, yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm moving out of the bedroom until you get help. And if you don't seek help and this continues, then we're going to be talking about divorce. But I absolutely will not be in a marriage where I'm afraid to come home. Mm-hmm. That's not working for me. And like, we don't do that.
No, we don't. It's about knowing your boundaries, honoring what's not feeling good, mm-hmm. communicating those with grace, and then you got to back it up with action.
You have to back it up with action. Too many women think that not, like, if they're yelling and screaming, they're not taking it. They are taking it. They're just taking it angrily, mm-hmm. right? Stop yelling and screaming, get grounded. And then matter of fact strength, just say, this is what you're doing. This is what's not okay. This is what I'm going to do if it doesn't change. And then if it doesn't change, do it.
Yeah.
And if you're too afraid to do that, then do something smaller, right? So on this example, it could be like, you know what? I have to tell you, this anger does not work for me. And I've been asking you and you're not changing it. I'm going to go seek help for myself so that I can figure out what my next step is with you. I'll let you know what that is. And even that, and then you go seek help. Yeah. You talk to somebody and you say, look, give me 5 things I can do because this is like killing me. And then you start implementing that. And then you know, let them know and you follow through. It doesn't matter where you're at, but what's really important is what you say you better mean. And if you mean it, you got to do it.
Yeah.
Or don't speak it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so often we're taught, we disown our emotions all the time. You know, yeah. We feel, I guess it's the low part that you were talking about, where we're taking so much of it because we're so scared of losing our attachments, really, that we don't want to create the shifts that could complete that attachment, that could complete that relationship. And so we keep quiet. And I mean,
and then we lose ourselves.
Then you lose ourselves. Exactly. It's really important to look at what is my need that's not being met here. What is my desired outcome? And to actually just take a step back and realize, well, what I'm doing, either the yelling or the not doing, obviously isn't working. It's not moving me towards happiness. And if nothing changes, nothing changes. So really, what is the best procedure here in order for me to move towards happiness?
Absolutely. And you can set limits with love, and you can have hard conversations with love and respect. It's just really about getting clarity with you. What is it that I'm doing? What is it that I'm liking? What am I not liking? And how do I need to step in that? But you can't keep sacrificing your happiness for theirs. We're so, especially women, are so worried about the other person not liking them or being upset with them or hurting their feelings or like 1,000 things. And really, when you step in, it's super attractive. I can't even tell you. I was working with this couple and it was so funny. And he was harsh, and he'd come in and he'd shut her down and he'd be dismissive and kind of aggressive, not physically aggressive, but just that aggressive energy. And she would silence and cry and beg him to do it and blah, 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 blah. And so after our work, you know, I was working with both of them, and she started setting limits with him and putting consequences to his actions and, you know, standing up. And they come into my office one day and I was like, you know, how's it going? And they're like, and she's like, oh, he's been so much better. And he's like, oh, it's been so nice. Like we're getting along great. And then I'm like, well, what has shifted? And he said, he's like, she's been setting limits on me. And he said, and I have to tell you, I can't even express how attractive that is. Yeah. Before, she would just, you know, I didn't like how I was treating her, but you know, she wasn't doing anything about it. And then I started losing more and more respect for her. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, oh my God, she's like who she was when I first married her.
It's about value, perceived value. And if we don't value ourselves, we can't ask somebody else to. And for men, what they find most attractive is a woman that has that I'm the prize.
Yes.
They value themselves because mm-hmm. it is super sexy.
It is. It's so attractive. Mm-hmm. And you're not valuing yourself more than you're valuing your partner, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is where absolute equality is. Mm-hmm. You are valuing yourself just as much as your partner is, and they should be valuing you just as much. Yeah. And so it's that mutual. There's a lot of healthy relationships are mutual. There's a lot of mutuality going on. Each person is giving, each person is receiving, each person is respectful, each person is kind. It can't be one person is carrying that.
Yeah. Love it. So I want to move into something that you mentioned earlier about being with somebody that you're excited to come home to. Mm-hmm. That really hit me because mm-hmm. my clients are a lot of the time talking to me about how they're dreading going mm-hmm. home because they get home and they know, oh, there's going to be conflict or mm-hmm. I'm going to be meant to feel like I'm failing at something or I did something wrong and I don't feel appreciated and work is so stressful. I just don't want to go home and deal with it even more. So how do we make home our safe haven? How do we make it a place that our partner feels really good coming home?
What a great question. You know, so the first thing is you have to get clarity. You got to know, like, what is it about coming home that's not feeling good? What is that, right? Is it you? Is it you bringing your attitude? Like, do you have an attitude issue? Like, are you, you know, so stressed that you can't be, you know, and then you walk in the home and you're like, you know, is it your partner? Are they, you know, are they constantly critical of you? Are they, you know, snappy? Do they like kind of barely acknowledge you've come home? Like, what is it? And once you have clarity about what the actual issue is, then you have to make sure, have I spoken to it? Have I addressed this issue? So many people, men and women alike, it's like in their head and they're annoyed by it and they think that their partner should know it and they're just not doing. If you haven't directly spoken about this issue, then your partner should not know about it. They should be totally oblivious about it because they don't know. If you haven't spoken it, they don't know.
Yeah.
Right? They're not mind readers. So that's the first thing, figure out what's the issue. Number two, speak to it. Mm-hmm. When you're speaking to it, don't complain about it. Request, ask what you want. So it can be like, you know, every time when I come home, you greet me with, you know, why didn't you do dot, 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 or what, you know, why is this house a mess or whatever. And instead, what I would like is when you come home for you to come in and say, hey, baby, it's good to see you. Yeah. Can we have that be our, you know, and then see what they do. If they say, no, that's stupid, I'm not going to do that or whatever, then you have to figure out, what are you going to do, right? What's my behavior going to do? Maybe what you're going to do on that one is every time your partner comes home and said, oh, this house, I hate walking into this house, you're going to say, did you mean to say, hey, honey, it's good to see you, you know, but figure out what your move is, try it. If you need to set a limit, you got to be very clear with them that this is the issue. This is the change I want. And if it doesn't happen, this is what I will be doing. Right. And then every time you need to follow through with what you say you're going to be doing, you're going to respect yourself more. It's going to feel better. They're going to respect. They're going to get angry at you first. They're going to get annoyed. And then they're going to respect you if you stick to it. So if you really, it's not feeling good to come home, you first have to do an assessment and then you have to figure out, okay, what am I willing to do here? How far am I willing to take this? Am I willing to set a limit? Am I willing to follow through? What's going on? Or do we need to get help? Do I need to say we need to get help? There are some issues that you just really need to get help for. If there's any, you know, anger issues, rage, that kind of thing, I suggest you get help. If there's any addiction, get help. If there's depression, get help.
Yeah.
You know, those are key ones that.
Yeah. The willpower alone does not heal those type of issues. You definitely want to work with a professional for those.
Right. Right.
So let's talk about mastering the art of repair, because as humans, we're going to make so many mistakes. We're going to make mistakes today.
Every day.
Every day. Right. And I mean, some of our mistakes are conscious, and we choose incorrectly. We prioritize the wrong thing. Other times it's completely subconscious. It's completely unintentional.
Right.
And it still hurts our partner's feelings.
Right.
So tell me a little bit, how do we really fix this right away, so that we're not ruminating and allowing something that could have been resolved in 5 minutes to build into something that takes weeks to repair?
Right. So repair, one of the hardest pieces about repair is holding yourself in warm regard. Right. You just need to know that you are absolutely okay. Like you're going to make mistakes. It doesn't make you a bad person. Doesn't make you a horrible wife or a horrible husband or a horrible whatever. So recognize that. And then you have to be accountable. So it doesn't matter if you did it on purpose or if you didn't do it on purpose, if it was just like this fluke and yet your partner was hurt and you know that it hurt them, you have to own it. And own it unequivocally. Like, it's not, you know, I didn't mean to do that. You know me, I would never really do that. Don't do that, right?
Yeah, the person doesn't feel that.
Right. And it's not a quick, oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That doesn't do it. You need to own with your energy what you did, say what you did. Listen, I know that I just totally shut you down. I totally get that. And then if like acknowledge what it might have felt like to them. And I know that that probably felt really hurtful to you, and that you, that's not how you want me to be treating you. And that's not how we want to respond, you know, kind of talk as a couple. So I'm really sorry. Apologize. I'm really sorry that I did that. I will absolutely work on that. I want you to know that you mean a lot to me. So the kind of pieces are, one, you need to recognize that it's on you and nobody made you do it but you. I don't care if they triggered you. They didn't make you mad. They didn't make you cry. They didn't make you anything, right? You are 100% responsible for your actions.
Yeah.
And with that, you need to know, here's the action that I did. Here's how it impacted you. And here's my repair. I'm really sorry. Here's what I'm going to do about that to fix it next time, blah, 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 blah. Give, like, if there's a repair thing that you can do, like, hey, I'm so sorry. You told me 3 times about getting the milk and I totally forgot. I'm happy to run out right now to get that. Do you want me to do that? Cause I will, right? You can do that. But do some type of repair if it's warranted. If it's just something that you said really quick, then that is just going to be like, I'm really sorry. I want you to know that, you know I was wrong on that. I know that hurt and I'm going to work on that.
And for the other person who is being apologized to, I imagine it's important to forgive, to practice the forgiveness and let it go.
Take it in. Like, listen, it's hard work to really be accountable. It really is. If I had to say what's the number one thing in couples that I see where they struggle, is defensiveness and not owning things. Mm-hmm. So first off, if you have a partner who's courageous enough to say, I'm really sorry I did that, you want to be appreciative of that, right? Yeah. Because that's heavy lifting. And then once they do it, like, let it go. Don't keep bringing it up. If they've repaired it and you took the repair, you need to genuinely be like, thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Let it go. Forgive them. That's their humanity. Because let me tell you, on another day, you're going to be on the other side of it and you're the one who made the mistake and you're going to want them to be able to like hear it, forgive you and move on.
Also, you want to make this behavior something that's repetitive as well. So if you don't forgive somebody when they are choosing to be accountable and you react poorly to that, they're not going to do it again. People only do what works.
Right. That's so true. If each time they admit to something, you're going to come back and like remind them and make them pay for it, you know, for the next 5 years. There's no reason for that. You're not a safe listener. That's the other thing. You have to be a safe listener. You want them to open up to you. You want them to, you know, be honest about their mistakes. You have to be a soft landing and a safe listener to do that.
Love it. This has been great, Lisa. This has been really wonderful. Thank you